Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
The Irish not so long ago were persecuted at the hands of the Brits. But we were never bombed from the skies with nowhere to go. The Palestinians have nowhere to go. It's their home and they're bombing them from the skies. If you're not calling it a genocide, what the are you calling it? Free, free!
So that's Kneecap performing at Coachella over the weekend, and at the end of their set they put pro-Palestinian messages up on the big screen behind them. It very simply reads, F Israel, free Palestine, up in bright lights at the back of the set. And now Sharon Osbourne has called for Kneecap's US work visas to be revoked over this. She'd taken to social media to say that she said she thought that they took their performance, Kneecap did, to a different level by incorporating what she describes as aggressive political statements. She said after witnessing their performance during the weekend, allowing them to perform again at Coachella the following weekend suggests support of their rhetoric and a lack of due diligence. And I'm just really interested to hear people's thoughts about this today. I mean, maybe you spotted it over the weekend. If you're reading Sharon Osbourne's statement online, if you saw the sign, 1800-453-106 is the number. Alan Buckley's on the line. Alan's the head tour guide at the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience. What did you think, Alan, when you saw and heard this over the weekend?
I suppose I would be, and thanks for having me on, unsurprised is the first word. I don't know what people thought when they were booking Kneecap. Did they think they were going to get a sing-along for The Sound of Music? Kneecap are, by their very MO, a protest band singing protest music. Their whole MO is very much around where they come from, the politics that matter to them. And regardless of whether or not you agree with what they're actually saying, it surely can't come as a huge surprise to people that an overtly political and what you might call protest band is making loud and, shall we say, unambiguous political statements.
So we should have no surprise that this is Kneecap's, I suppose, what they did at Coachella. The crowd's reaction to it, Alan?
The crowd's reaction, I would say probably there was a degree of maybe support, there was a degree of maybe mixed emotions in the crowd. But again, I'm not too concerned about the actual reaction of the crowd. I suppose Kneecap are going to be Kneecap.
And, well, if you go to see them, you know what you're getting.
Well, exactly. If you go to see, if you know a band, if you go see Rage Against the Machine, you're going to get loud protest music. If you go to see Daniel O'Donnell, chances are you're not. They are a band that have based their career and will continue to do so on the idea that there are political and social and economic and war-related issues that they want to speak about. And I completely disagree with Sharon Osbourne on the basis that, well, what she's kind of saying is, well, you know, we shouldn't have that type of opinion, or if we allow it, they were implicitly supporting it. But I don't think, A, that follows, and B, what she's, of course, failing to realise is that popular music, or if I use the term rock or rap or whatever, is essentially, by its nature and origin, a form of protest. Rock and roll came out of the music of the blues. The music of the blues was the voice of the disenfranchised people, people of colour in the United States. And rock and roll was very much a reaction to the idea that music was previously kind of the reserve of the elite, privileged people. And rock and roll, by its nature and history, has always spoken about difficult things. Not all rock and roll, but does Sharon Osbourne remember a song called War Pigs by a band called Black Sabbath, released in 1970, which is a staunchly anti-war song written and sung by her husband?
You know, I was looking at some of Sharon Osbourne actually has put up a fairly lengthy post on social media about this, right? And she says Coachella 2025 is going to be remembered as a festival, as the festival that compromised its moral and spiritual integrity. She says their actions included projections of anti-Israel messages and hate speech. This behaviour raises concerns about the appropriateness of NECAP's participation in such a festival. And she goes on, Alan, to say that Golden Voice, seemingly they're the festival organiser, that they were unaware of NECAP's political intentions when they were booked to perform at Coachella.
Okay, but what is she really saying? She's saying, I didn't like it. I was offended. I found it offensive. And those situations and those opinions are just that. They are opinions based on, I've heard something that I disagree with. Okay, but what is the next step? We stop people from saying things we do not like, we do not agree with. And I haven't come on the radio today to say that I completely agree with everything NECAP say and do.
Well, no, it's a broader question around, I suppose, whether or not musicians, artists, bands, pop stars, whatever you want to call them, should be political.
Fair enough. Do we have a long history in this country musical artists? Sinead O'Connor, Bono from U2, Bob Geldof with songs like Banana Republic. I think if you look at the history of Irish music in microcosm, you'll find that most of it was actually quite political. There is a tendency, I think, to the Irish artists to veer towards the area of struggle based on sort of coming out of our own history. Mm. Something that sometimes gets criticism, and let's look at Sinead O'Connor's instance for a second, where she tore up a picture of the Pope, current Pope, obviously in the news now, passed away. But back in 1992, when Sinead O'Connor did that, a lot of people said, Sinead O'Connor is a crazy person and she doesn't know what she's talking about. Now, with the benefit of hindsight and history, would we still hold that opinion?
Mm, okay.
Go ahead,
Alan. Sorry, apologies.
Well, I was just going to say, is it not, as Sinead O'Connor said herself, the role of the artist to start difficult conversations?
Yeah. Look, it's a fair point. Stay with me, Alan, if you don't mind. Journalist Saoirse Hanley is on the line. Do people, like, not just, it's not really just about young people, Saoirse, but when you're at gigs, and I know you go to quite a few of them, do you want political commentary and opinion from artists?
Well, it's an interesting question because I think Alan brought up a good point of whether or not we agree with it. Like, what if I'm at a, you know, I suppose the artists I tend to see are people that I probably do align with politically. So when there's, you know, political outbursts at those, I love it because it's what I believe in. But if it was maybe to the other side, I can't say the same whether or not I see support of it. But I think it's something that's become really intrinsic to it. And it has raised a lot of questions, particularly in the last few years, and particularly in an American context, of whether or not there should. I mean, there was huge conversation last year during the US election of, you know, whether or not celebrities were endorsing Trump or Kamala Harris. And that was a big debate over whether or not they should, you know, whether we should look to them for that. And I think the truth of it is that we just kind of do, whether it's because of the way social media has evolved or the way that our, I suppose, conversations have happened, that we do look towards the kind of celebrity figure to not quite give guidance, but I suppose, if you're somebody who feels very strongly in support of Palestine, for example, you are going to want to support artists that also reflect that. And I think that's become a big kind of crunch point for people. And it certainly has. You've seen, you know, different authors, people will turn against them, or you'll have different musicians where they'll say, well, that's not in alignment with what I think about this issue. So I'm not going to listen to them. I'm not going to support them, that kind of thing. And it is very divisive. But it does, I think, as Alan's pointed out, kind of hark back to a history of it. And I think in this context, you know, it depends on what you posit yourself as. So again, NECAP, you know, hardly surprising. And I think Sharon Osbourne's comment about the event organisers is an important one, because last year you had a rake of musicians pulling out of, I think it was the Southeast, Southwest, one of
That's
those.
That's right, yeah, festivals. The SW, yeah, yeah.
You know, and NECAP were one of those. They pulled out of that for that reason, so it shouldn't have surprised them either. But I think a good example at the moment is Chapel Roan. So she's obviously massive at the moment and quite a divisive figure, because she kind of doesn't have the kind of polished pop, I suppose, approach to the media or to her fans that people maybe expect. But she came under fire recently for going on the Call Her Daddy podcast and saying that, you know, I don't know why everyone looks to me for a political, you know, guidance. Why am I the person that they want to have a statement? Why am I the person, like, you know, I'm just a musician. I should be allowed to go about my life and not have to give you my opinion on something, and it shouldn't have weight. But she has previously been someone who stood up on stage and talked about, you know, rights for low-wage musicians. She's talked about rights, you know, for the oppressed people, for trans rights in America, for all of these things. And she's been somebody who has been vocal about that. So for her to turn around and say, well, don't look at me for political information, it's misguided, because she has kind of made a platform for herself as someone who does.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, artists then face calls from people, you know, fans, consumers, just members of the public, to hear their opinions on political issues. The same happened to Taylor Swift in advance of the US election, you know, as to who she was going to support.
100%. And that was kind of something that people were really waiting to hear, because they hadn't heard for a while. And it was, you know, the date was coming closer and closer. And when she eventually did come out and endorse Kamala Harris, I mean, it wasn't surprising, again, from a past history of being, you know, very involved with, like, the kind of Democrat Party. But she, even just from talking about voting alone, she drove almost, you know, she drove interest to, I think, the voter registration website for about 500,000 new registrations. And that's just from her coming out and saying something, whether or not you agreed with her stance, it still got people engaged. And I think that's maybe the real power of people being involved, of musicians being involved in politics, because they do have that platform. And I think, you know, NECAP have long proven themselves as people who really, 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 I suppose, they really appreciate that privileged position that they've been given to be able to talk about these things. You know, they obviously, they don't care about the backlash. They want to be able to say what they have to say. And I think that that expression is what endears them to people more than anything else.
Sean has got in touch to say, when children are being slaughtered on a daily basis, if we stay silent, we are complicit. Another texter feels NECAP should be deported, keep their political statements to themselves, and just respect everybody who attends your concert. What about you, Brian? Do you think that the musical stage should be used for political speech?
Of course, I just want to say, I don't think Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath ever stood up on a stage and said F an entire nation at any one given time in their career. No, I mean, you go to a gig to listen to music. If you're going to a gig, and if you are someone out there that's putting your entire belief system into, whether it be three lads up on a stage, one of whom is wearing a balaclava for some strange reason, or whether it be Ozzy Osbourne, or whether it be a Taylor Swift, you need to have a serious look at yourself, I think. I mean, just because somebody can write a song or just because somebody can play an instrument doesn't mean they're an expert or that they know all to know about a certain situation. I mean, I look at the guys, I mean, I said to your researcher there, they were in Australia 2 weeks ago preaching to a predominantly 95% white Australian audience about, you know, occupying British forces and how the Australian people had faced that struggle too. I'm sure the Aboriginal man was outside going, hey, lads, it's us you're talking about, not the guys you're preaching to right now. I mean, I just think they've become such an irony and parody that they literally would just wait for the next thing. I think a lot of musicians do that. They wait for the next thing that's going to be, is it going to be edgy? Is it going to be something I can get up and talk about and cause a bit of controversy? And at the end of the day, if these guys believe in this, are they going to donate their fee from Coachella and from all these places to go to the victims and the people of Palestine, which, by the way, nobody agrees that people should be getting slaughtered. But are they going to donate their money? Are they going to go over to Jordan and all these other countries in Syria and march down the streets? They'd probably get hung off a cliff or something by certain people in those areas. I just think, just because they can say something doesn't mean they have to say it. And standing up and saying F an entire nation, by the way, when there were probably people from that nation who were probably Jewish in that audience. I mean, what should they do then? Just go, oh, sorry, I shouldn't have come here because I didn't realise these guys were going to come out with this statement. And we're going to stand over that as they're from Ireland, so we can specifically talk about them. I just think it's a massive embarrassment to the nation, you know, to the entire north and south in Ireland. And I think we need to kind of start calling out this nonsense from them. I mean, they put up, I mean, if you look at their Twitter feed, which I had a quick look at, I don't know his name, the idiot, I'm going to call him, that wears a tricolour on his head, which, by the way, is an insult to the tricolour, as a balaclava, by the way. I mean, he has books, he's a book up on their Instagram or their Twitter feed where he's quoting Hezbollah scripture. I mean, I just want to point out, guys, by the way, the last Irish soldier that was killed in active duty from Ireland only a couple of years ago, five people who are members of Hezbollah have been charged with that. But yet now we have this group.
I would have thought, you know, of all of the bands and the acts, I would have thought that NECAP, like, born and raised in Northern Ireland, born through the time of the Good Friday Agreement, the sort of the Good Friday babies, like, they know more than most what it's like to grow up and live through the hangover of conflict and to have that as a backdrop throughout their entire childhood.
Well then come back here and make a difference. Don't be prancing around the world and using it as a platform.
Let me bring Peter in, Brian, for a moment. Do you think musicians should use their platform to speak out about this?
Personally, I prefer if they don't. If I go to a show, I just prefer to hear the music and enjoy the show. But it's been going on for years, and I don't think it'll ever change.
So we should just know to expect it.
Yeah, I mean, for example, now there's a concert coming up in October. A band called Disturbed. I don't know if you ever heard of them. This is the guy who it was on the news there. Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day showed some support for Palestine and wanted to change the lyrics to one of his songs. And the lead singer of Disturbed, David Draiman, called him out on it, inviting him to debate. David Draiman, he's the singer of Disturbed. He's a Jewish American fellow.
Bands shouldn't be silenced. Is that the point?
Well, yeah, that too. Plus, but you know, it can create all sorts of other controversies. Like I was saying, this Disturbed, like they're due to play here in October, and they're supported by a band called Megadeth. The lead singer, Dave Mustaine, used to be in Metallica, but now it's kind of a it was strange to hear that, because it seems kind of combustible, because Dave, back in the early days when Megadeth toured to Ireland, he was quite quite vocal about the whole Troubles, and I think when they played in Belfast, he said, "Oh, give up."
So you can probably expect to hear a bit of that then, maybe in October as well. Robin, you wanted to make a point on this today. What's your thoughts?
Well, firstly, I think one of the key things is that art is inherently political, whether or not you want it to be. And like many of the other people have mentioned, I mean, this is something you'd expect out of Kneecap. So I'm a bit confused that anyone was surprised at all. Especially bookers and things like that. You can see videos of their performances before their performance last year in Electric Picnic, for example. They had very similar rhetoric. You know, they have one of their songs that's called, like, you know, Brits Out. So you can imagine that they would have that kind of statement. And I think there's a time and a place for it. And in this day and age, the place and time seems to be all the time. And if you are a band and you have that platform, I think it's incredibly important to use it to stand up for what you believe in. And whether or not I believe in it or agree with it, you know, in this particular case, I'm a fan of Kneecap. I would agree with them. However, there are smaller bands who do the same thing. There's a Dublin band called Sprints, and every time that I've seen them perform, they always make sure to, you know, call out specific things, typically, you know, speaking up for people who are trans and speaking out against the genocide. And, you know, if you are attending this kind of concert and it does make you uncomfortable, like, I think it's important to sit in discomfort. And I think it would be the same if I went to a concert and someone said something I didn't agree with. You know, I'm not just going to up and leave. I'm going to sit there and try and understand within myself what my views are and why is it making me uncomfortable, you know, and what is it about it? Maybe I am wrong. Maybe they are wrong, you know.
Sorry, Robin, just on this from a listener who makes the point. It's not that I necessarily disagree with Kneecap and what they said. It's the potential for the row that might actually take place, you know, between different sides, whether it be Palestinian or pro-Israel people that are at a concert when statements like this are made.
I mean, That's fair. However, I think that there's ability for violence and fights to happen regardless of if that's going to happen.
But less likely if it's not mentioned.
That's possibly true. But I mean, at the same time, if people are going to fight about something, I mean,
they'll fight anyway.
They're going to fight anyway. And I think they're not, like, Kneecap aren't, like, telling people, go and punch the guy, like, you know, start a massive fight.
No, they're not. To be very clear about that, not at all. I know we just played a short snippet of some of the comments that were made on stage at Coachella. Alan, maybe just on a final point to you, is there any impact for Kneecap professionally as a result of this?
I mean, I think it's entirely possible that some people might decide to, you know, do boycotts, or maybe there are bookers in the world that will. Do I think that will in any way dissuade NECAP from being NECAP? No, I don't. And I would always just ask, I just want to ask one question in terms of, you know, we can all disagree with what NECAP did or what Sinead O'Connor did or what Bono said or whatever. But what is the next part of that conversation when people say we should stop them? They should be silenced. Mm. What society does that look like where people cannot express even controversial opinions? What does the organization of a society look like when we put people in charge who decide what people can or cannot say?
Censorship, really, isn't it? That's what it amounts to in many respects. We got on to NECAP about this today. We asked them if they'd like to join us. They've sent me in a statement to say NECAP's reply to Sharon Osborne's statement is statements aren't aggressive. Murdering 20,000 children is, though, or executing 15 medics and burying them and their ambulance. That's the statement from NECAP into us here at Lunchtime Live today. Noelle has got in touch to say Green Day also changed a lyric in their song. They're an American band. It's so important that bands aren't silenced, whatever their message. It's chilling that anyone would try to silence debate. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.